Let us begin our message with a prayer first, please. Lord God, I ask that you guide the words of my mouth with a meditation inspired by your Spirit. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Good morning, saints. It is good to be with you again today. It's been a little bit of time, like I said, since I've been with you, and it's always a delight I'm finding to stand up here and have a chance to share in the gospel message with you. I'd like to start with a reflection from a time that is now a bit ago for me, when I was a youth minister. And I sat down with a dear student of mine who I often had good conversations with. This student would come and talk to me about all kinds of subjects, ones that for somebody his age were pretty adult-like. The thing was, though, he came to church, always with his parents, and I saw him engage with the adults, but he never really showed up for youth group. It was coming close to my time of closing as their youth minister, and I sat down with him to lunch, and I asked him, throughout all this time, we've talked and we've got along great, and he agreed, yeah, I think you're fantastic. And I asked, why is it you never really got involved with youth group or really engaged in any of the mission trips we did? And he said to me something that stuck to me to till this day, and I think it always will. He said, well, I love the church, and I love the work that our pastor and the adults do here, but I really don't find Jesus to be relevant. Jesus is not relevant to me. How heartbreaking it was to hear that, but at the same time, it was a message that I needed to hear, and one that I think the world says about the church quite often now. As ELCA Pastor Lenny Duncan writes in his newest book, Dear Church, a love letter from a black preacher to the whitest denomination in the U.S., church, somewhere along the way, we started to believe what the world was saying about us, that we no longer have a useful message to give the world. If anything, Luke's gospel message today has a backup plan of sorts. It tells a story that gives us the steps for living out the gospel message both then and now in ways that will never lose relevance. This story, often called the Good Samaritan, actually never has the word good referred to for the Samaritan in the whole passage. We get to this understanding of good because of the Samaritan's active decisions, ones the lawyer even states showed mercy to the one who fell into the hands of robbers. Wise travelers will advise, when you're out and about, be careful how you carry your bag or your wallet. Be wary of pickpocketers. I'd heard it said, don't keep your wallet in your back pocket. That is the slickest way a person can easily grab it without you even knowing. Last week's gospel message started a little earlier in the chapter 10 of Luke, and it talks about when Jesus is instructing the 70 he sent out in pairs that you are to go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Such instructions can be seen as twofold. First, Jesus is setting them up to be in need of those that they minister to. They're going to need food and a place to rest their head. Second, it seems to me he is also helping these travelers stay safe. the less belongings they have, the less likely they are to distract the eyes of the wanting. What would happen, though, say if one of these pairs sent out in the 70 got separated on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho, then ended up in the unfortunate circumstances of the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Well, then, thank goodness for this Samaritan who does good for the neighbor. The story changes when a face is placed with the occurrence, with the person. Suddenly, we can relate to the one who is attacked, no longer a stranger to us. Now that we know who they are, maybe we will stop and help as well. In Jesus' time, there was an ongoing debate about who the neighbor was. The lawyers asking Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is the neighbor? Who should I consider my neighbor? Fits perfectly into the conversation of then and today in 2019. Not much has changed, for society is still asking the same question even now, all across the world. Jesus' news of salvation, eternal life, the question the lawyer started with, how do you get eternal life? The answer still proclaims to us today who our neighbor is, as he proclaimed it to the lawyer testing him. We don't know who the priest is. We don't know the story of the Levite. We don't even know who the Samaritan is, even though we now call him good. Let alone do we know the unfortunate traveler whom is harmed. We can make assumptions for why the priests and the Levite don't stop, as many interpreters have throughout time, saying purity laws held them back from doing so. In the end, that is not the point at all. The point is, in the end, is we are called to act in love for our neighbor, no matter if we know who our neighbor is or not, regardless of if we agree with the narrative of our neighbor. Called to act in love for our neighbor, because more often than not, our neighbor will not look like we expect or even want them to. It's not unlikely news, or news you probably haven't seen all the time lately and for some years here in the Bay, but housing costs is through the roof, especially if you are a renter. I hail to you from across the bridge in Vallejo, and I've been there just shy of a couple years now. But as I've been assigned to a church and have a call there now, I've been becoming more invested in the community. Vallejo has been called recently the city that has the most raising of rent, the highest amount of rent going up in the Bay right now. And we see this most certainly when we look at some residents in two apartment buildings specifically that have about 600 residents between them, that had a group called Reliant come in and double their rent in the last couple of months after they bought it. This was heartbreaking for this group of people. A lot of them, most of them in fact, being the elderly, and a lot of them being immigrants. And the interesting part is, most of them have lived in both of these apartments for years. Good, reliable tenants. So what do you do about it? There's a group called Common Ground in the Vallejo area. It's part of Solano County. And it's a broad-based organization of religious congregations, nonprofits, and unions representing over 15,000 families in Solano and Napa counties. And Common Ground was founded in 2013 to strengthen our institutions and create community change. That is their description according to their website. So, with all types of denominations, including United in Christ, including even a Jewish congregation in Vallejo, we came together and went before the city council and helped get a moratorium set for these renters so that their rent will not change over the next 30 days, and we're actively working on making it so that there will be a fair agreement for these renters so that they don't have to be displaced. An active way that I saw community come together for the good of their neighbors. I'd like us to do a little activity today, though, together. You've probably noticed you have some sticky notes, and someone asked me, what are these for? And I said, don't worry, it won't be painful. I think that when we talk about how we can actively be a neighbor, I can stand up here all day and tell you things that I've done or I've seen others do, but what's most effective is if you're able to talk to one another about what you are able to do or what you've seen others do that has inspired you. So I've put some stickies along the rows, and if you will share them, we'll just take about 2 to 3 minutes if you'll turn to the person next to you or a couple people next to you, and just write on your piece of paper, here's the question for you. How do we live out the instructions of Jesus, whom told the lawyer, go and do likewise? Again, that question is, how do we live out the instructions of Jesus, whom told the lawyer, go and do likewise? So there should be some pencils, and I tried to check. It's a good way to know if you need to sharpen them sometime soon. Some pencils in your rows, and if you'll grab a sticky and share with your neighbor, the people you go to church with, whom you love.
What happened if we can't outright?
I will help you, sweetie.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay with you?
Here.
Okay. What are some ways that you feel you could actively help neighbors or help yourself?
Well, I think in me, I helping my classmate.
Yeah, helping a classmate? How so? I'd love to hear more about that. How do you help your classmate?
Like helping my teacher to help his students and kids.
Yeah.
In my school.
Fantastic.
And it's stuff. Fighting a lot.
Oh, you help with stopping the fighting?
Uh-huh.
Helping classmates.
And I like to help with my teacher a lot.
Fantastic. Those are all great ways. Helping your teacher. I know they need them a lot.
Yes.
They have a lot of work, especially when they have a lot of students. Helping your teacher, stopping fighting, helping your classmates.
Yep.
Fantastic. How about you? What is a way that you feel you could help neighbors or help?
I'm looking for the Jesus first, and then that is a community for the disabled adults.
Vice President in the Bay Area. What's that organization?
Huh?
What was that organization? I think I heard you say you're Vice President. Helping Bay Area. Doing something here, yes. Okay, fantastic. All right. Well, I am looking at people and they're looking at me, so let's see what other people have. Thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
Is it all right if I share yours?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, perfect. All right, do I have a few volunteers that would be willing to let me see their stickies to share? Of course not. thank you. And I'll share mine. What was your name again?
My name is Lisanne.
Lisanne? Thank you, Lisanne. So I have Lisanne's, and then what was your name?
Marilyn.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Anyone from over here? That's okay. I have three here. So I'm just going to share some of the examples that come from your own congregation here. Be kind to our neighbor and do random acts of kindness for all. Pay it forward for all. Thank you. Share with others and do for others. Help all people. I love it.
Thank you.
My neighbor needs help with yard work. He is disabled, and I want to get some people together to do what he can't. There we go. Asking for help. Perfect. I'm just going to stick this one here. Let's put this one here. And I was talking with Lisanne, and she helps at a school, and she helps her classmates in some ways stopping fighting and helping her teacher, which is amazing because I know teachers have a lot of students and they need help. And then helping specifically in the Bay Area. We need that around here too. So if you will, go ahead and leave your sticky in front of you. It'll be a good reminder, and Pastor Joshua will have a visual when he comes back. He'll wonder, what are these sticky notes? And he'll get a chance to see what you've all been up to while he's been away at Disneyland. And don't worry, he'll pick them up and he can recycle them. They won't stay here forever. But I think it'll give him a good chance to see what you are doing and each other. Maybe you want to walk around later and take a look at them. Jeremy, he's saying, Jeremy, forgive me. Joshua was my spiritual care director when I was at PLTS, and they're twins, so I do that to them all the time. In fact, I see Joshua talk about that online. I wish people would stop confusing me with my twin. In case you don't know, he has a twin that looks just like him. All right, so getting back into the word from the pulpit, I thank each of you for being willing to engage in a little bit of an activity during the sermon. I know that's not commonplace for what you do, but I think you all got the picture and a good example of ways that you can actively think about and then engage in loving your neighbor and being there for your neighbor. Recently, this last weekend, across the world, and specifically in the U.S., when I read at over 800 different locations, something called Lights for Liberty held vigils and protests across our country. What they were there to represent were for the children that are in camps, in detention centers, in different places in the U.S. Children that we have been hearing through news reports that don't have enough to eat, are sleeping on the ground, and going without health needs met. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people apparently came forward to not only speak up for these children, but to talk about what can we do to make a change for them so that they don't have to be and these conditions that no one would want any of their children placed in. Ones that I think needs a reminder from earlier in the Gospel of Luke, when his disciples are asking him, who is the greatest among us? And Jesus, of course, brings a little child before them and says to them, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among all of you is the greatest. If the story of the Samaritan teaches us anything, we still live in a world that questions who the neighbor is. Yet Jesus teaches we are not to question who, when the solution is already all our neighbor. Or why question who is to be loved while Jesus is loving all? No, the gospel proclaims, don't question who and why. Rather, go and do likewise. A message that the world needs to remember. God says, go and do likewise. This message will always, always hold the highest level of usefulness. Let us not forget. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.